I am unashamed. What about you?
It was one of them injuries.
We've lost your mic, Phil.
I'll get your mic then.
Somebody told me that it doesn't matter what you say if no one hears it.
That's true.
I bled for about
Have you hurt yourself? How are you doing?
Yeah.
I bled for about 3 days.
It may have been that scalding.
So that told me the wound was a little deeper than I thought.
Yeah, could have used.
Well, I told that story last night to a bunch of guys. I was in a card tournament, and that's as hard. Well, once somebody said, "Is he okay?" and I said, "Yeah." I've never seen people laugh that hard.
Oh, I stabbed myself accidentally.
Yeah,
I can see it. You know, cutting up carrots. Okay, you nip your finger a little bit, but this was just a straight on pocket knife to the bone.
Open blade. Shows you how dangerous we are to ourselves.
We sit in a lounge chair with a pocket knife open. Just don't do it.
Never do it.
It was just on the right. I forgot it was there. Move my leg to, you know, I'm kind of limber, so I don't my feet. Uncurl my legs up like this.
You can pull them in, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You sit, I mean, look, you say Indian style? Is that fair?
Everybody says Indian style.
Native American style.
But I've told this story before. But, you know, when I was a kid, we used to play that we would throw the knife at each other's feet. It's like the guy who just always took the wrong end of everything. He was your neighbors somewhere down Kim when they would come visit, you know, and he's the same one that had a bike wreck and he went forward between his legs and it was almost a career ending injury. I mean,
yeah.
But we were throwing him knives, me, Willie, and him, his name was Mel.
Yeah.
And I forgot if I threw it or Willie threw the knife and it just stuck him right between the
toes.
And Willie was like, "You lose."
Willie, known for his compassion.
I mean, what are we? I think back on that.
As soon as I saw the wound with the blood coming out of it, in my mind, I said, that could stand about 3 to 4 little stitches, tight stitches.
Yeah.
And this thing would get well in, you know, a few days.
Yeah.
But I said, I'll make it. So
resurrection.
Stick it in some boiling hot.
Imperishable
body. It took me longer to stop the bleeding than I thought. So and it bled for about 2 days after that. But it finally got to where it finally closed up. But you know, it's just a little.
All I can say is that
the wound is kind of open.
I'm just glad this didn't happen to your wife, our mother, Miss K.
Oh, you wouldn't.
Because it would have been wound care for the next 2 weeks.
Well, Phil, you got to look at it.
Oxygen chambers.
That's right.
I mean, she woke Bobo up and he was sleeping soundly. And she said, "Oh, little Bobo." And she just got it right in, you know, and woke him up. Well, he thought somebody was after him in his dream or something.
Yeah.
He did. And about that quick, and her lips were just torn
the
top, the bottom. I mean, you know, stitches.
Unlike you, she went for stitches because she
healed.
Needed them.
She went for stitches. She had to, though.
She had to. That was a bad deal.
She's healed up.
That happened at 11:30 one night, you know, when she was freaking good. She just was like, you know, goodbye, JoJo. But, I mean, Mabel. But, I mean, it was. She was bleeding like a stuck pig.
It's dangerous out there.
Well, Phil, I've noticed that the older we get, they become the phrase in these last days, the imperishable body, the resurrection looms larger.
What I'm saying is there, when the time had fully come, Galatians 4 and all these, you look at them, God sent his son, and then the Hebrew writers writing about, you know, in the past, God spoke to the prophets at various times, anyway, but now, in these last days, and then it, again, over here, he appeared at the end of the ages, which is what we're looking at, Hebrews chapter 8. I'm just saying, this thing is not going to keep going for, in my opinion, for millenniums. I don't think so.
Doesn't seem to.
I think it's closer than that.
Yeah.
Well, there is a lot of
I could be wrong.
On when you see, like, on verse 2, in these last days, I would say most religious people says, well, that's the end of time, which I've always looked at it like one generation. No matter what you read, we're in the last days.
That's right.
Of life. I mean, what's the verse that says we're like a flower that crops up or a blade of grass?
Jesus has come and done his work, and it's been over 2,000 years now.
Which
so it's not going to just keep going into millenniums after millenniums.
Which you could say, you know, what does it mean last days? But your point is valid. It has been 2,000 years.
That's right.
Well, right.
Since these writings
which is
happened.
Confusing to the non-Christian or to the one who's seeking a relationship with God. They're like, what are you talking about?
Well, it was just like today. I was reading a tweet today, and I was reading it, and I thought it was a tweet done today. And it said, you know, we have 11 years left before this happens. It talked about rising flood tides, and this country was going to go under, and that one, and this one, and it was a lot of disaster. And then at the bottom it said, quote, made in 1989. In other words, some science person said in 1989 we had 11 years and here's all the stuff that's going to happen. Well, that was 22 years ago. It didn't happen.
Well, right.
But it was such. So what I'm saying is, you know, you got to watch it when you start putting predictions. One thing I know for sure is we don't know when it's going to end.
Well, it says it's, yeah. It, no, it's
that's the one thing we can't know.
Like a thief in the night, that means you don't know.
You don't know.
But there is something to be said. We talked about it last podcast, you know, like the last verse in chapter 8. When he says calling this covenant new, because here comes Jesus bringing a new covenant,
yep.
He has made the first one obsolete. And what is obsolete and aging? Well, then he throws in this strange phrase, will soon disappear. So for us, we're looking at it like, well, you had this religion that was birthed by God in Israel, in a nation. And I guess the Mecca Center was the temple at Jerusalem.
Correct. And that's the exact context he's talking about in Hebrews 8, the high priest.
Well, so you
would agree that it seemingly big events, biblically speaking, happen roughly every 2,000 years.
Well, I don't know about that. Well,
there have been every 2,000 years a pretty major happening. I agree with that.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, because before this, it was when the first covenant was made. Before that's when you start seeing the history of human beings. So, I mean,
from the promise to Abraham, I don't know how long it was from there to the law of Moses being given. And then from there all the way, Jesus is coming.
Well, I know. But what I'm saying is in 4,000, we're not going to know about that one.
We won't.
I guess you do have some awareness since you have the Holy Spirit of God. You know, I've said that when you die, I do think it as related to time. I don't think you're sitting around waiting.
No, it's not going to be
thousands of years. I think when you die, the next thing that'll happen in the twinkling of an eye, the resurrection takes place.
That is correct.
So you don't have to worry about time.
You close your eyes, and within seconds, you'll open your eyes, and
you're back going again.
That was quick.
Yeah.
I mean, no time is passing if you're asleep. Dead asleep.
Mm-hmm.
No time is passing for you. That's why when you're sleeping well, you put your head on the pillow. Last night, I woke up like that. I mean, I put my head down, and I woke up like that. I looked around. I looked over at the clock on the wall. It was 5:45.
Because why do you look at the clock?
I just looked at the clock. And
you thought, have I been asleep 8 hours?
Oh, I'd been asleep just seconds ago.
Yeah.
I just put my head down on the pillow. I woke up. I looked around. I looked at the clock. And it said 5:15. I said, okay, I'm still asleep another hour or two here. And I just repeated what I just did. I went right back to sleep.
And it felt like you just.
I had my alarm set just in case, but I was waking up before the alarm. But I was basically dead asleep.
Yeah, nothing stirred you.
Yeah, I've had a weird problem. Somehow my alarm got changed. I did just have this song, just dun da 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 da. But somehow I hit a button somewhere, and now it's like twinklies. So my alarm is like twink, twinkie, twinkie. And so it's a strange sound.
It's like somebody's...
So it's like, what is that? And I can't get it back to a song.
So mine's, just got little, over. Mine's got the little...
You bought yours at an actual store. I have mine is my phone.
I shopped around to find a clock that was dated back years. I didn't go this modern day. I said, what?
Yeah, you're a relic, Hunter. Yeah. You're an alarm clock relic, Hunter.
That's right.
You do you wind it up, too?
Nope, it's not that. You just click it on, and it... And it'll sit there, and it'll run for about an hour if you don't turn it off. It's just sitting there.
I'm going to get you for Christmas. I'm going to get you the sand that you turn over.
That's right.
I mean, let's just go.
Y'all gave me that.
Whatever you do, don't get him Alexa.
Just call Alexa. She was good to me for about 2 days.
Dude, you're the only human
Alexa,
that got into an argument.
Set me up at 5:30 in the morning. Wake me up. She said, I'm sorry. Right now we're having trouble. I said, get the thing out of here. She's arguing with me. No, I can't do it. That's what she was saying. I can't wake you up in the morning. Nope.
You know why? Because you discovered she's an atheist. She didn't know about the Jesus.
Well, y'all had an argument, and then mistakes were made, and it led to separation and eventually a divorce.
Yep.
Now she's living down there with Lynn.
We call that, this is unashamed. This was unplugged. No more Alexa. I didn't like the way she's talking.
Alexa
anyway.
Unplugged.
I didn't like a device there. And, I know when to wake you up. I'm like, wait a minute.
You're way too paranoid for that.
Oh, man.
Then Dad says she asked about Si. He said, how does she know that Si's my brother?
Yeah.
She asked about Si.
That's what Dad said.
She mentioned Si, Silas Robinson.
Well, she's getting this from the internet.
Yeah, I said,
that's her
dad. Well, somebody said once you put it on the Alexa type contraption, you're bugged from that day on everything.
Yeah,
I don't like.
But the problem is the internet. Like half the things about me on the internet are false. But she has that as truth.
So Alexa's problem is too much fake news.
Well, she's just gossiping about what she's hearing.
I knew this was going to come down to she was a sinner. She needs to repent is what needs to happen.
She needs to be baptized.
That's right.
Somebody tells you a story, false. You have to make a decision on whether this is a false story or is this true. And she doesn't have that mechanism.
What'd she say? I'm not sure.
Well, when I was talking to her about counting time by Jesus, she said, nope. I said, that's what I thought. Get her out of here.
Atheist.
Who did she say we counted time?
She said, we cannot make a comment on that or something. it does not compute. I said, who are we counting time by? What year is it in China? She said, 2022. I said, okay. I said, what about Red China, 2022? What about Russia, 2022? I said, so who is it we're counting time by? Why is it 2022 years from what, Alexa?
You had an argument.
Does not compute. Does not. We have not. I said, that's what I thought. Blowing smoke again.
Did she then start into
her? She didn't say, okay, it's 2022 AD.
Did you actually get angry or were you frustrated during this conversation?
I just wanted to know what she thought.
I know. I was just curious if you actually were.
Did she ever?
That told me she had limitations and she's the one that I'm going to depend on to get me up every morning? No.
Did she ever go into her 60s computer? Beep, boop, boop, beep, boop, beep, beep, boop, beep, beep. Usually when Dad talks about the computer, he goes back to the 1960s supercomputer.
That is how it started off. I mean, you remember the AOL? It would do that scream like something's in pain out in the woods.
That's how you
it
knew you were online.
Almost demonic to me at that
point. What they called it? It was called a dial-up.
Dial-up.
You dialed in. Yeah, dial-up.
And it was just like a woman screaming.
Yep.
Should have known right then. That was when Alexa was born.
One of the reasons I think that it may be sooner than later on the. They said, because ironically, the Hebrew writer wrote down, in the beginning God laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of his hands. They'll perish, but you remain. They'll all wear out like a garment. This thing's going to wear out. It's going to just, and you think about it, humans living on it is that we're up to 2,000, probably, 7 billion. You look around, it'd be 13 billion. And the planet, according to the Hebrew writer, is in fact going to just wear out. Well, it makes perfect sense. I mean, that you, well, you know, how long can you drain it, dredge it, do this and do that and worry about there? So the people,
you're right.
I mean, new Green Deal says, no, we'll stop it from deteriorating. But God in the book of Hebrews said, no, I'm going to destroy it.
Yeah, but you don't even need the Bible to know it.
He just said it's going to wear out.
Let's take a break. One of the things that happens a lot, obviously, to men is that they lose their hair, get that bald spot going. You notice it in pictures. Sometimes it's embarrassing, and especially if you're a young man and this happens, which happens a lot, of course, with male pattern baldness. And so what we want to do is help you to flip the odds in your favor and save your hair with a product called Keeps. Keeps has been a very long time sponsor on our podcast, and we appreciate them for that. And they know that hair loss can be tough. And so they want to help you not have to shave it off and go bald if you don't want to. So they have a clinically proven, FDA-approved hair treatment. You can get it online. It helps stimulate hair growth. It takes care of the hair that you have. And they have a Keeps physician that's going to help you make sure you find the right safe products for you to use. And also they're available 24/7 if you have any questions. So check them out. No pharmacy visits. Come straight to your house for about half the cost. So it's affordable and doable. Check them out, keeps.com/door, and you're going to get 50% off your first order just for being an unashamed listener. That's KEEPS.com/door to save your hair.
Which makes sense to me.
But he also said he made it. I mean, verse 2. That verse 2, when he said in these last days, he has spoken to us by his son. When you think about words and being educated, yeah, books contain words. Words give you a direction to a person.
Yep.
People speak words.
Yep.
And he said, he's the final word, and oh, by the way, through whom he made the universe.
Yep.
And by the way,
I definitely think I definitely think he's talking here about what's about to happen in the near future with the destruction of not just the temple, but the Levitical priesthood. That's really the case he's been making. So when you get to that, I know we're going to start chapter 9 today, but when you get to the end of chapter 8, to Jace's point earlier that he read, it really gives a lot of credibility to that argument when he says, whatever is becoming obsolete, which we know what that is, that's the old covenant. It was the temple, it was the tabernacle system, it was the Levitical priesthood from Aaron, and it's growing old, so it's getting old, and it's ready to disappear. And just a few short years later, the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed, and the whole Levitical priesthood and acts of worship and all that, it was all destroyed. And so it's kind of good that he wrote this, because he's preparing these people for, hey, this isn't going to last much longer.
And anybody can research this, Dash, anybody could research this and see these, what we're covering, and it should make sense to them. I mean, they know about the destruction. They know about that. The history records the destruction of the temple and the Jewish nations as a people. It records it.
But there's still trying to do this today, wouldn't you agree?
Trying
I'm
to
sure
do what?
There are sects of people who are still following that old system.
Oh yeah,
oh yeah. But
well, you had made the point. You made a point in the previous podcast of how the religious world today, we still struggle with these same. We may not be worshiping the right temple, or but we have our own version of that.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. I really believe that. It's ritualistic.
Structural ritualism is what it is. It's the same concept.
That's based on your performance.
Right. And they'll even use the same terminology. So Sunday becomes Sabbath. You know, I mean, and is sacrosanct. You know, I remember even in my lifetime in ministry, like I'd say something about playing golf on Sunday, and they're like, well, you can't play golf on the Sabbath. I was like, what?
Yeah.
Sunday's not where did you get that idea? But so a lot of that's transferred over. They just took that old Judaism, old covenant, and brought it right into the new covenant.
Yep.
And decided,
yeah, you try to wear a hat in the building or something. And I mean, how many times have people, you know, question you guys on how you're dressed in the building, as if,
oh, yeah,
Now, several. You know, now, this is different here. You know, this is the house of God. And we're like, no, it's really not the house of God. It's a brick and mortar building I've that somebody built.
I've been confronted numerous times. You know what's crazy? Is I've done hundreds of speeches in front of people, thousands of people. And the only time someone has ever said something to me in a negative light has been about what I was wearing or how I look. Never about the content of the speech.
That's right. Just about the look.
Yeah. Which is, I found disturbing.
It is disturbing.
The same thing. Paul said the same thing in 2 Corinthians. He said, you are judging by mere appearances in chapter 10. I preached on Sunday. You know, they were more concerned about how he looked, how he spoke when he was there, you know, his style. And he was like, you're missing the whole point of what this is about. And I would say that's the case as well. But, well, it's funny, though, when I was in D.C. With Lisa, when she spoke at the big Right to Life, I had never seen that many groups because, you know, I don't get out a lot in terms of other people's, like, denominations and all this. But, man, I saw more flowing robes and big hats and staffs and rings and major, like, I mean, there's some people that are wearing some very outlandish things out there, you know, that were leaders of these different groups. I don't even know what they were, but it was kind of shocking to me because, you know, you just don't see that much. But there's some groups that are still, they got the same stuff you read about in Exodus, the ephods and the breastplates, and that's all still a thing on the Christianity side. So it's still there.
I mean, because the problem I have, you could take that into, you know, there's some groups that they say, well, you got to wear your best. But, you know, it's hard to know, especially when you get into fashion, that's subjective.
Yeah.
But there are groups, because I've spoken at them, and they're like, you're not wearing your best. And I'm like, well, this is all I got.
But so you know what?
Technically, it would be, what I was going to finish my thought was, though, is if everybody looks like a 1960s, you know, 70s movie in perfect suit. And I don't know why I'm thinking that. I'm thinking that old movie where everything looked perfect, you know. But if somebody comes in off the street wearing rags, he would feel...
He wouldn't fit in.
Yeah, well, you know, what is our mission here? Mm-hmm. Is it to reach other people or is it to look like a movie?
Well, you know, what's funny is that now at our church, there's like one person that still dresses like you just described. But I've always said, I want you to keep wearing it because in case somebody comes by in a suit, I want them to feel like they'll come find you because now it's such a minority to dress up in the current thing that they don't do that.
Well,
one of the reasons it wasn't a problem when you read about in the Bible is everybody wore robes, men and women.
Right.
And I was watching that because Biden went over to Saudi Arabia and they were wearing those robes. And I said, you know, I don't think I would be against, let's go back. I like the idea of just everybody wears robes. It's more comfortable. You know, you don't have to worry about button flies and zippers and buttons. Just robes. Just everybody
Except
back
the
to
heat.
The
room. It'd probably be pretty
it'd
hot.
It'd be hot. Though. As a man who does a lot of activities outside and in the woods, I think that would be a catch-all. And it would be hot.
Well, that is true. You do have a tendency to catch a lot of critters.
Going through a thicket in a robe. You know what I mean? It'd just be hard to do. You need form fitting.
I guess you had fancy robes. You had casual robes back then. You had, you know, comfort robes. I don't know.
Well, we mentioned just for our study here today, just so you boys will do this food for thought.
And girls.
You got Luke chapter 1, when the angel appeared to Mary, he said, the power of the Most High, Gabriel, an angel, told her this, the little virgin girl, will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, the angel tells Mary, is going to have a child in her old age. And she was said to be barren, and she's in her 6 months. And so it's more than you going down here. John the Baptist is going to come too. But anyway, for nothing, he says, is impossible with God. Well, one of the things I noticed in the book of Hebrews, four places, and then we'll cover them as we get to them. One, two, we've already been by, the two we, that we've gone on by is Hebrews 6:4, and I'll just cut to the chase. There was a little bit of arguments between us here when we got to this, but Hebrews chapter 6:4, it's impossible. Here's the first impossible in the book of Hebrews. For those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the power of the coming age, if they fall away, to be brought back to repentance, because to their loss, they're crucifying the Son of God all over again, subjected him to public disgrace. I think basically what he's saying is, look, the only thing that you can be told to bring you back is what you already know. Mm-hmm. You already have that information. So the only information I can give you as far as life and immortality is what you've just rejected. Well, it's impossible for them to come back, because all you can tell them is what they've already heard, and they still turned away. So that's one.
Hang on, Dad. Let's take a break. So our friends at Omega XL, which Dad and I have been taking the product now for over a year, have informed us, let us know that you have 360 joints in your body, which I did not know until we started using this product. So that starts at the vertebrae and goes all the way down to the feet. And as you get older, daily activities, you start having some joint issues. And the reason why is your body produces SPMs when you're young that keeps those joints healthy. As you get older, it doesn't produce as many, and so you have a lot of pain. What this product does is it helps to rejuvenate your joints and muscles, so it helps you move like you were when you were young. And there's no doubt it works. I can attest to it myself. So check them out. Go to omegaxl.com/fill, and you're going to buy one bottle, and then you're going to get a second bottle for free. And that's about a 2-month supply, and that's about how long it took for me to get the full effect from the product, about 2 months. And like I said, it's been working like a charm ever since. That's omegaxl.com/fill, or you can call them at 800-844-4888. That's 800-844-4888 or omegaxl.com/fill. Go ahead.
Then you got 6:18. Which says, when God made the promise to Abraham, I'll bless all nations through you. Verse 17, because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised. He confirmed it with an oath, how we all came from our father Abraham and how all this went down. God did it so that by two unchangeable things in which it's impossible. Impossible for God to lie. I like it because everything I read, I believe it to be true. We who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged. He's going to save us, and he's promised he's going to do it with an oath. Then you got 10:4. It's impossible. Those sacrifices, chapter 10, verse 3, are an annual reminder. This is coming up in the next few days. Reminder of sins, because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. So with every one of these, it all affects Jesus, each one of these promises. The first one, he'll be the Son of God and he will save the world. And yep, there won't be any sex involved, but with God, nothing's impossible. He can do anything. Well, then you get to the next level and you say, okay, if you fall away, what about that? Well, you can't bring it back because you already know about Jesus. It's all about Jesus and your view of him and your allegiance to him or not. So you got 10:4 impossible, and 11:6 says, simply put, without faith, anyone who comes to Jesus must believe that he exists. It's still about Jesus. First, the one that's going to renounce him, first how he got here, then the one said, well, what if I hear that he died for me? I put my faith in him and I've come to him and I'm going to stay the course. He's there to mediate for me. It's all about Jesus. But you turn from that, you say, there's no other way you can get there except through him. So he's in the promise. He said, the promise made is there'll be a Jesus, he'll save you. That's basically what he's telling Abraham. I'll bless you. And you're going to be the heir of many people. Well, so when you get to the last part, 11:6, simple trust and faith, you'll be okay. He rewards those who earnestly seek him. It's impossible to please him without faith. You just have to believe it and move on. So I say in that, as we go forth, it's still all about Jesus from one end to the other. And the Hebrew writer is elaborating, you're not getting out of here without him. So here we are.
I like it. And you're right. That's it'd be interesting, Jace, to look and see sometime if those are all the same word, Greek word.
Well, what they're doing here.
Research that.
Y'all are the big time researcher.
Yeah, we'll research that. That's an interesting thought no other book that I know in the Bible mentions that word four times.
Me either.
Yeah.
I mean, I just noticed that, and I said, well, good night. If it's impossible, that means with him, we got to own the other side. All things are possible with him.
That's a sermon. Mission Impossible.
Yeah, it's a sermon.
Mission Impossible.
Too. Well, and
but then ultimately it would be possible because God did it.
Well, I've said many times that movie, the Tom Cruise, which there's a new one coming out, I think.
Really?
No, I don't know. They always.
But when this was written to the Hebrews, it would be good for them to understand. Listen, what you're trying to do without Jesus, you're not. It's impossible for you to please God the way you're doing. I mean, you know, all things are possible with him, and it's impossible without him. So, and it all zones in on Jesus, the Son of God, from his birth to his death to his burial, his resurrection,
well, he did
to his mediating work.
He did throw in the it's impossible for him to lie. But I think that's significant because he said Jesus is basically the final word. I mean, he said that he sustains all things by his powerful word.
Stuck with the impossibles with the book of Hebrews. You see what
I know,
I'm
but I'm
saying Hebrews 6:4, Hebrews 6:18, Hebrews 10:4, Hebrews 11:4. It's all the same word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, is that
so
right?
That is the same Greek.
There you go.
There you go.
But it is used in different ways.
That makes me feel better about being on the side of Jesus, the Son of God. What about you, Zach?
Oh, absolutely. You know, you look at what's going on here and where context is at today. Going back to our previous discussion, I think it's what you're saying is absolutely true. What they were doing, particularly, or what he's addressing here, is the obsession, not the obsession, because this is where, I mean, it wasn't an obsession, but they were focused on the place of where God would come and make his presence known, which was the tabernacle and the temple. And so when he's given that warning in chat at the end of 8, he said, hey, that thing's about to go down. So, like, you better jump ship on the new covenant. So when he moves into
while you're there, Zach, while you're there, do our modern day Jews, Ben Shapiro, we love them to death. Are modern day Jews that are not believers that Jesus is the Son of God? Are they still there? I mean, when it comes to the temple being destroyed, do they all know historically that the downfall of the temple and the destruction and the mayhem and the deaths that went on with the Titus or the Roman Empire, they know that, don't they?
Well, sure, yeah, sure. I mean,
yeah, they know that.
I mean, they know the temple's been destroyed. I would like to know what they would say about this argument in Hebrews that the priesthood is illegitimate because it's not Levitical.
Yeah.
I would love to know the answer to that because I think the argument that the way the Hebrew writer, the way that he constructs his argument. Is he doesn't appeal to new revelation. He appeals to the actual word of God from the Old Testament that anyone who is a Jew would believe in. He appeals to, like we mentioned, Jeremiah, was it 31 in the last episode? Yeah, so he's referring to their own religion and their own prophets. So yeah, I would like to know the answer to that too. I don't know how they deal with that. when he gets into 9 though, he goes back into the earthly tabernacle when he says, now even the first covenant had regulations of divine worship and the earthly sanctuary, the place. For there was a tabernacle prepared, the outer one in which were the lampstands and the table and the sacred bread. This is called the holy place. And then there's another part called behind the second veil, there was a tabernacle, which is called the Holy of Holies. having a golden altar of incense and the Ark of the Covenant, which we know what would happen if you touch that, right? You would die. Yep. On all sides with gold, in which was a golden jar holding the manna and Aaron's rod, which budded, and the tables of the covenant. And above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. It's interesting how he ends it there. He says, but of all these things, we cannot speak now in detail. In other words, I don't want the bigger point here to get overshadowed by the details, but this is a reality, right? There's this place of worship. That's why I think when he ends chapter 8 with it's getting ready to disappear, he immediately goes into what is getting ready to disappear, and it's that temple, that tabernacle, that Levitical priesthood. So that'd be interesting to know what someone would say about that.
Let's take a break.
One of the best measures of how corrupt a country is how rich its leaders get while they're in office. They're not so good at passing laws or governing, but they're great at investing.
Imagine if every American could make money off of war.
In 103 days, that position ends up gaining around 103%. So she made, you know, $2 million plus her original two, so $4
million. I signed, co-sponsored a bill and made too much voluminous flair over it that I wouldn't be seated. So I shut up. The threats that fly around are just absolutely insane.
The Blaze Originals team traveled to Washington, D.C., home to one of the most brilliant financial minds in the world, Nancy Pelosi. In our documentary, Bought and Paid For, How Politicians Get Filthy Rich, we spoke to Reps Matt Gaetz and Chip Roy, George Santos, and the bane of D.C. elites, Unusual Whales, to expose how our elected officials are beating the stock market and, more importantly, what we can do. To watch today, go to congressgetsrich.com and use code RICH to get $30 off an annual subscription to Blaze TV.
But I've got a guy to ask. We have a One Kingdom ambassador in Israel named Joseph Shulam, and I'm going to ask him that question. I'm going to send him an email.
I think the catch is, Zach, they'll go up through the Old Testament, but they won't jump over. You know, Jesus is coming, as Jay says, and they hold on to that. But when he got there, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, whoops, although they were still on the law, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when that was written, the problem was they won't jump forward and read the book of Hebrews to see that it was destroyed, although they can check secular history and see that it was destroyed.
I think they would
acknowledge that. Yeah, if you were going to have a conversation with someone who believed in the Old Testament, but didn't believe in the New Testament, I would think that Hebrews would be the argument that you would use. This would be the argument you would use.
Though. That's what I'm saying.
So I think you go in there and you know, when Paul went and preached in different places, you know, he in Acts 17, you know, he went to the Areopagus where all the more the Gentile philosophers hung out, and they would pontificate.
Great minds, yeah,
the great minds. So you know, he went in there with one kind of presentation. Remember, he said, "I looked at your objects, and I saw one that said to an unknown God." I'm going to tell you about that God. That was one. But then, when he went to the synagogues, which were the Jewish people, he had a completely different way that he would present and make the case for Christ.
But so all of his outreach to the synagogues, would you agree that most of them, 99% of, didn't end well? I mean, how many times you run out and you're beaten up? I mean, he had a lot of trouble when he went to the synagogue. Finally, he just said, you know what? I'm out of here. Remember that in the book of Acts?
Yeah, but he did reap a harvest too, though, along the way. I mean, I think Paul's missionary journeys show how the gospel spread as he went and took it to the corners of the earth, you know, and fulfilling the Great Commission.
The problem now, though, there's not a temple in Jerusalem, right? Jay, you were the only one out of us that have been there. I mean, there's the site where the old one was. They got the Wailing Wall.
Oh, yeah. But
they don't have a modern – do they have a modern temple in Jerusalem? I know there's a mosque there. I mean, to a lot of the Islamic that are there, that's their holy city.
But it's a wall. No, I went to it.
Yeah,
but it
doesn't look like this. What's described here, right? I mean,
but there were places that did in the general vicinity,
right?
I mean, everywhere you go in there, it's deemed holy because of where it's at. And right. Yeah, different ways of expressing that. But that was the biggest thing I saw was that.
Were they putting those prayers? Did you go to?
Yeah, they were doing thousands of prayers.
All that's left of it is still there.
Oh yeah,
that wall, and they're sliding their prayers in between the cracks and the rocks.
I was there.
What it looks like.
Yeah, but they also did it in different places. You know, I mean, everybody. What I noticed is everybody claimed this where something was.
Right.
Just think about though the shock of over 1,000 years for sure. From there back to when the law was given, and then here comes the temples. Well, just looking at that history, people become accustomed to that. I can see how it would be a major move to say that age is over, which is what the Hebrew writer is saying. It's over.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. It's not over. People, I was there. They are still. They were putting more.
Well, why didn't they rebuild it
on the place?
You'd think why didn't they rebuild it?
I'm saying they've just, made the place now almost like another temple wherever you go. I mean, these people were passionate.
Well, but Jewish history is interesting because I took a course in college of Jewish people through the mid centuries. You know, like from 1300 up until the current deal. They've only been back in Israel, that one particular spot as a people since 1948.
Yeah.
It was less than 100 years.
That's true.
So they were spread out all over the planet.
Yeah.
You know, they were in Europe. There was tons of anti-Semitism. It's always been there. Europe is still rife with it.
So it had not even begun to come back together.
No, that's what I'm saying. They've been scattered. They've been scattered for 2,000 years.
Well, I was just going to say, though, whatever I was a part of on that weekend— We went to the people's homes. We did like a 4-hour, basically felt like a Lord's Supper type of thing. We had a meal and they read scriptures.
Like a Passover?
And yeah, we did all. We were our whole group. I mean, it was long. We were there with like 35 people in one room. When a couple, they got up. The man would get up, then the woman. The man, they just, and it was real beautiful. And I mean, they were tearfully. You know, like half the things they said was not in English, so I have no idea what they were saying, but it sounded great. And they were passionately giving it. So then the next night, we all went to the wall with thousands of other people. I mean, there were thousands of people there, and all the men and the women.
So they have just a beaten down trail where you walk up there, I mean, because that much traffic.
Yeah, I mean, we just went in. We all went in. What's interesting is they had like a metal detector you had to go through because I guess they were trying to keep anything bad from happening. But there were thousands. So all the women, it felt like if you just drove by and looked, you would think it was like a folks festival because all they were doing dances at first and everybody was happy and just doing dances, and there were different chants and prayers, and then it kind of got more serious without, there was nobody like in charge with an MC. It just evolved. I mean, we were there for hours, and then people eventually went to that temple, that wall, and that's where they were emotional. They were, you know, hollering out, and I mean, I was
probably weren't crazy about y'all being like tourists and stuff. Probably not too crazy.
No, it was no problem at all.
Oh, really?
No. I mean, I was called brother a couple times.
Yeah.
That's the only word I understood. Brother.
Brother.
Because I was just like, I'm going to just go to the wall. I'm not sure when I'll be back. So let me. Getting to the wall was a problem.
Yeah.
That's where everybody wound up.
Let's take another break. But it's interesting because the reason all this is interesting to us, because a lot of people say, well, why do you even care about all that? But Jerusalem was the temple courts were the birthplace to Christianity. I mean, when the church first started meeting, guess where they were? Right here. So, I mean,
it started right there.
It's our birthright.
I mean, to me, the bigger problem, what he's addressing in Hebrews is, I mean, these people were being persecuted. It was hard. This was a hard journey. I mean, we're going to get into that in chapter 10. you know, and even 11, he makes references of it in 12. But, and so early on, he said, when he says, because there's something that Zach said that made me think when he said obsessed, maybe I shouldn't say obsessed, but I remember studying the original language in that chapter 2 when it says we must pay more careful attention to verse 1. I don't know what your translation says, Zach.
What we've heard.
But I remember that pay more careful attention, that doesn't seem like a very strong statement. But when I looked at the original Greek, it was something along the lines of furiously obsessed.
Yeah.
It was way more intense than what you think of. We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we've heard so that we don't drift away. And because what happened was they had drifted just like people do today. This is the commonality I see.
We're seeing
people
the
hear
results.
Jesus.
We're seeing the results of what that text says.
People hear Jesus and they surrender. They give their life to Jesus. And then all of a sudden they're like, well, this is hard. This is not easy. And even suffering may happen, or persecution, or they may not get a job promotion. And so what happens? Well, they start drifting away from Jesus because it was kind of like they had this idea in their mind that, oh, God gave me Jesus, and I'm going to take him into my life, kind of like my personal assistant, and we're going to have a great life. And I think this is the same thing was happening here, because when you get to the end, it's all this suffering. And I know what happens when people are persecuted and they suffer. They don't want to do that. They don't like pain.
Yeah.
And that's why the whole chapter, you know, 12, when you get into discipline and all. But
that's when you know something's real.
Well, right. Because then that's why he said, for if the message spoken by angels was binding. I mean, so we're going back to this old law. I mean, this is early on, but I mean, I think chapters 1 and 2, you have to keep going back there to remember the big picture was, you don't want to drift away from Jesus. You don't want to be the person in the audience saying, well, look, I've heard the gospel. I got that.
Yeah.
No, you've got to be, your daily life has to be furiously obsessed with that. That is the life. You're never going to move away from Jesus saying, oh, I got that figured out.
Plus, you need to remind them. The Corinthians had to be reminded that, no, what you are is ambassadors through whom God operates.
Right. Yeah.
Ambassadors representing God. He's making his appeal through your life.
Yeah. And it may be uncomfortable for you and filled with persecution. And you may die because of it physically. What were you saying, Zach?
Yeah. I was thinking of last episode, Al mentioned the word sanctification. And you had, Jace, you had the three appearances of past, present, and future.
Yeah.
You think about the term, if you think about the term salvation, biblical salvation, like if you say the word, like what does it mean to be saved? Biblically, it's not a one-time event. I mean, justification is a one-time event, but that's your past where you were saved from the penalty of sin. But then there's this thing called sanctification, which is that's the thing when you just say, oh, I've heard the gospel, I'm good, I can move on now. That's not what we're called to. You know, we're not called to hear the gospel and then just move on. We're called to hear the gospel, come to Christ, find our justification through him. But then we're called to be sanctified, which is what Francis Schaeffer would say, that moment by moment being saved from the power or the grip of sin over your life. And I think that's a whole lot about what Hebrews is moving into as well, because they were so focused on that one-time deal, but they kept having to come back over and over to renew that getting right thing.
Yeah.
And this point is, it's bigger than that. It's bigger and it's accomplished through Jesus. Sanctification in the future would be glorification, that we're freed from the presence of sin, which is our
Well, it's like any relationship. That's why marriage is the best. That's why he chose to use marriage as the illustration, and the father-son-daughter relationship. Because you think about it, what's the key to those relationships? I mean, I was an idiot when I got married. I thought she was going to do everything I said and that we were going to live happily ever after. Well, but what I'm saying, what makes this a relationship is the difficulty and the, you know, the, no, I'm not doing it. I don't agree with that. And you think if our relationship with God in Jesus, when you as you read and you study and you do things that are wrong and contrary to the character of your who you're having your relationship with, well, you have the same feeling. You're upset. You feel guilty. You don't want to do what he says, but you know he's right, and you see the consequences of that. I mean, in any relationship, you have to have that, is what I'm saying. Well, that's what people don't want. It's a lot easier just to go do a ritual and then go live, you know, however the heck you want to live.
Yep.
But this daily prep, living in God's presence, it can be convicting.
Well, that's really the whole point of where we're this chapter is, because you have to understand, he's talking about the where that they worship, the how, which we hadn't read yet, and also, but what you get to ultimately—
regulations for worship.
Right. The key is the why, because if you, Jason, to use your illustration, if you were married, but you only came together with your wife once a year, and even then, it was mystical and fearful, and you weren't sure about it, what was going to happen, and then you say, all right, see you next year. I mean, that wouldn't be much of a relationship, right?
That's my point.
But think about this, though, that the answer, the why, the most important part is, and the main point of the book of Hebrews is the who.
Yeah, and who. The who. That's where I was getting to.
There's no doubt about that. But you got to remember, they're sitting there hearing this stuff. They're, even like what I've just read about that, if the message of the angels is binding, well, it takes them back to Mount Sinai and, you know, and then he makes the point, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation that's in Jesus? But you got to remember, when he's throwing around statements like, let's fix our eyes on Jesus, back under their system and what gave them the law, there's a fiery cloud coming around. And if you look upon the glory of God, you've died. You'd just be it'd burn your eyes out. It'd be something off of a bad horror movie.
They were trembling in fear.
Well, yeah. And all of a sudden, you're introducing all these ideas about you're going to fix your eyes on Jesus, which is why he did it. It's like, God has come up with a way to have a relationship with him. And that's why he said in these last days, spoken, the pieces were the prophets, but the Jesus is the puzzle. This is how I'm going to speak to you. You can fix your eyes on him. Well, that to them was like the craziest thing. You would never look upon God. I mean, he can't be God because I think that's you know, what you have to get your head around, that this awesome God who made the universe and is so big that we can't wrap our head around, he come up with a way to have this relationship in something. And that's why that third appearing in Hebrews 9, where it said he will appear to us, and the actual Greek word there is that we can put our eyes on him.
Right.
Well, what a concept. That's why the 2 Corinthians 3 says that about with unveiled face. He took it away. We're going to see, we can live and see and exist with God as a normal relationship. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I just think as human beings, we struggle with that. We'd rather just have the ritual. I'd rather be scared to death, go in there with my head down, do what I got to do, and then get out of here.
And do the least. That's right. All right, we're out of time. We'll talk a little bit more about this in overtime.
That was quick.
Thanks for listening to the Unashamed Podcast. Help us out by rating us on iTunes. And don't miss an episode by subscribing on YouTube. And be sure to click that little bell to get notified about new episodes. And for even more content that you won't get anywhere else, subscribe to Blaze TV at blazetv.com/unashamed.